Thank you for tuning in to this IFPRI podcast. Food, forests, and landscapes. Solutions for sustainable development. Held on Monday, June 24th, 2013, in Washington, D.C., with speaker Shengen Fan of IFPRI.
Well, let me welcome you all to come to this seminar. It's a very timely topic, very critical topic. And let me also welcome Peter and Gita for giving such a great, great presentation. Great. So we know that our land space and landscape is very limited. We need to save forestry for these different purposes as Peter described. So on existing land, we need to make sure that they can produce more. So sustainable intensification for food and the nutrition security is the topic I'm going to speak. We now are facing several challenges. One is the global burden and hunger, malnutrition, and disease is very high. And some of the challenges will continue to threaten future global food security, like climate change, declining water and land resources, increasing population. So what we need is a sustainable intensification for food and nutrition outcome. So we produce more with less. More not only means the more production, more grain production, but more importantly, is much healthier population by improving their nutrition. Even right now, more than 50 countries are having very severe, alarming, and extremely alarming level of hunger. So IFPRI Global Hunger Index indicates that majority of these countries are in Africa. So they have very high level, alarming level, extremely alarming level of hunger. And surprisingly, maybe not too surprisingly, some of the South Asian countries like India, Bangladesh, Pakistan also have very high and alarming level of hunger, despite rapid economic growth, even very rapid agriculture growth. So there is a disconnect between growth and improvement in nutrition and health outcome. More than 2 billion people are suffering from so-called hidden hunger. So we know that FAO recent estimate shows that about 870 people are suffering from visible hunger, underweight, undernourished. So you can easily see they're hungry. But many people are suffering from hidden hunger, lack of micronutrients, vitamins, and their physical and mental health will be compromised in the future. So this is a phenomena that has not been paid enough attention. Again, it is in Africa, in South Asian countries, where the hidden hunger level is most severe. And we estimate, or there is estimate that more than $3.5 trillion is lost because of malnutrition, which is equivalent to 5% of GDP, global GDP. So when we present how the health nutrition outcome can be improved to the ministers of finance, they don't buy this argument. They wanted to see dollars. A 5% global GDP loss due to malnutrition should be an alarming figure for them. Overweight and obesity are rising. Is that ironic? So in many countries, the overweight and obese population have reached to 40%. My own country, China, is 20%. And this obesity and overweight cause huge economic loss. And that trend will continue to rise. And the recent Lancet issue really gave us some very interesting figure. On the one hand, the economic growth or GDP growth is very critical for nutrition improvement. So every 10% increase in per capita GDP, about 6% of child stunting rate will come down. So we call it elasticity about 0.6 or minus 0.6. That's good side of the story. On the other hand, the economic growth can also lead to overweight and obesity. Look at the case in some of the countries. So 10% GDP per capita growth will lead to 7% increase in women's overweight and obesity. Because overweight and obesity, the life expectancy of the woman or even children will be reduced, in addition to economic loss. But as Peter and also Gita mentioned that the future challenges will continue to threaten our global food security, which include rapid population growth, income growth, and a diet change, rising food prices, not only high level, but also its volatility, growing natural resource constraints, water, land, forestry, and climate change. So climate change will hit us soon, hit us very hard. We have already seen increased extreme and intensity of weather events, so very extreme and intense. Now, rising income, this figure shows you how the developing countries' income will increase over time. So it is developing country where the per capita income will increase much faster. China, India will continue to grow at 5%, 6% per capita per year. Many other countries will follow. As a result, their consumption pattern or their diet pattern will change. So by 2021, the per capita consumption of fruits, vegetables, and meat will increase by 25% to 40% in developing countries. In OECD countries, the percentage increase will be much smaller. Land and water constraints are very high. For the last several decades, we have already lost quite a bit of land. 60-70% of the arable land has been lost. By 2050, another 50% will be lost. So we will have less land. Sorry, Peter, we might have to go to the new forestry area or more forestry area, but we want to make sure that we will not do that. Look at the water constraints. Again, it is in some of the poorest countries or poorest regions where the water scarcity will be the most severe. So poor people will be affected by water scarcity more than the richer people. And by 2050, almost more than 50% of the population will live in dry area or water scarce region. About 50% of grain production will also come from the water scarce region. Right now it's about 39%, and 45% of GDP will be produced from water scarce region. Climate change will affect us soon and hard. And again, it is in some of the poorest country where the impact will be the greatest. So Southern China, Southeast Asia, South Asia, Africa, Latin America. So for example, the ram-fed maize yield will be reduced by almost 40% by 2080. And irrigated wheat will lose 28 or 30% of the yield. So everything else is constantly the same. Just because of the climate change, so the crop yield will be cut by almost one third. So what we need is sustainable intensification. So intensification means we have to produce more. We have to use science and technology to produce more and save water, energy, and forestry. So agriculture can do it. So agriculture can meet the world's growing and changing demand for food, feed, fiber, and fuel. So all this demand will rise. And enhance nutrition and health. So on the one hand, we got to save all these natural resources. On the other hand, when we look at the outcome or the output, it's not just a total grain production or total food production. It's more important, it's a nutrition and a health outcome of the population. And to preserve the planet's natural resources. We need that for our future growth, for future generation. And we believe that well-designed strategies, policies will make intensification possible, sustainable. So at APRI, we have done several scenarios analysis using impact model, this global model. And from this model, we make certain scenario analysis to assume if there is a world of so-called sustainability. So some of the assumptions about growth, about the water use efficiency, about the more investment in R&D to continue to increase yield, and also assume a 2% warmer planet. I'm afraid this assumption may have to be changed very soon to 4 degrees. At least by 2050, 2 degrees may be reasonable. And also, we also wanted to make sure that all the girls will have access to secondary school education. So these are the assumptions of these scenarios. So if we do pursue these scenarios, what would happen? Global food prices instead will actually come down instead of increase. So in 2005, the global food price, the grain price, is about $150 per ton. Business as usual, if we don't do anything, the food prices definitely will increase by more than $200 per ton in 2030 and $253 in 2050. So these are the 2005 prices. You know, if we inflate them to the more recent price, obviously the prices will be much higher. So however, if we pursue a more sustainable approach, the food prices actually will keep constant or probably even will even decline. And as a result, the total area needed for food production will also maintain more or less the same, or even decrease, which means that we will have land for other purposes, environmental purposes or recreational purposes. And as a result, more children will become nourished. So the rate of stunting for children will decline, you know, to 50 million by 2050. So tremendous impact from sustainable intensification. The next approach must be adopted. Peter has already mentioned about it. Land, landscape, water, energy. Well, in Peter's terminology, actually all this come together as a landscape, but it's sometimes still very useful to separate them: food, water, energy, forestry, and food. So I think Gita mentioned that the poor people, hungry people, must be the center of the sustainable development. Without people, without taking into consideration of poor people, why we need a sustainable world? What is the purpose? And agriculture is the center of this nexus. Leveraging agriculture for better environment, better nutrition, and health. So IPRI is leading a CGI research program called A4NH. John McDermott is the director of this program, to link agriculture for better nutrition and health, moving away from maximized food production or grain production. Integrating sustainability and food security has to take several issues into consideration very seriously. Firstly, we need to have much better evidence to assess the impact of cross-sectoral policies. So how agriculture strategy policy would affect food security, of course, but also natural resource management, natural resources use, forestry, water, energy, and vice versa. So this sort of cross-sectoral impact needs to be assessed, needs to be evidence-based. And promoting resource-efficient technologies and practices. There are many practice technologies that can save water, that save energy. For example, solar-powered drip irrigation, slow-releasing fertilizers can really help to cut down the water use, cut down the energy use, cut down the cost of production. And promoting climate-smart agriculture. So the agriculture is part of the problem, but it is also part of the solution. So 30% contributing to greenhouse gas emission. But if we can design certain policies, agriculture can actually help to mitigate the climate change. In the meantime, agriculture can provide food security for poor and hungry. And to reduce food waste. There's huge food waste in both developing and development countries, although where the food is wasted differ. But this is a very important topic we have to work on. And promoting healthy diet. Overeating, obesity, overweight will not only increase the food prices, but also put tremendous pressure on our natural resources. If you eat more, If you eat more meat, which means that you need more water, more land, more energy to produce more food. So I have a very bold statement here. Can we correct some of the sort of the market failures to address this issue? The market will not be able to correct this. So public policy is needed. Can we tax unhealthy, unsustainable food and use the money to support healthy and sustainable food production? And integrating agriculture to health and nutrition is so critical. Biofortification is one of the instruments. So without using more land, more water, you can simply increase nutrition. So this is one of the best investments we can afford. And integrating nutrition to the whole production value chain. So not in terms of consumption, but also in terms of even before production, the use of inputs, use of seeds, farming practices, harvesting, processing, transportation, and final consumption. Let's make sure that nutrition is integrated into all these components. And finally, can we make sure that the stakeholders, particularly governments, like the Minister of Agriculture, be accountable, responsible for nutrition and health outcome of their population, not just to rise self-sufficiency, not just to maximize food production. So let's grow healthy people. Thank you very much.